You know, that's exactly what is happening. We're gathering together unto God. God's reaching out, and He's gathering His people together. He's gathering them all. He's gathering them not into a denomination, but He's gathering them unto Himself. Truly unto God shall the gathering of the people be. It won't be to a system. It won't be to a tradition. It will not be to an organization. It will be unto Himself. And when the true gathering comes, as is coming now, it will be unto Him. It'll not be unto a man. It won't be unto an ideal. It'll be unto God Himself as manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. We saw a portion of that just this past week, a portion of the gathering of the body of Christ when six of us went to Ridgecrest, North Carolina, of all places, and those of you that have a Baptist background will recognize the name Ridgecrest. Ridgecrest is a camp and conference center in the mountains of North Carolina that is a Southern Baptist center. And we were told that Ridgecrest is kind of the Vatican for the Southern Baptist, and those with a Southern Baptist background just couldn't get over that a bunch of charismatics were worshiping God and celebrating the oneness in God in the Vatican, so to speak. And it was good. We just had a wonderful time. The facilities were fantastic. And I'm asking James and Marianne Fulcher went, and also Chris and Joan Schallenberger and Lois and I. And I thought that you might be interested in just hearing a word from them about what their impressions were. And in the weeks to come, I know that they want to share at greater length. The women with the women, I think, probably, and the men with the men, and perhaps some other things that the Lord hasn't shown me yet. But I thought it might be interesting for you tonight just to hear a brief word as to what God is doing. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that the only place God's doing anything is in Douglasville. And the only place in Douglasville He's doing it is on Highway 5. And the only place on Highway 5 He's doing it is in the Round Rock building. But that's not exactly right. God's doing it everywhere. And to meet brothers and sisters of the faith from all over the place and just have fellowship with them is a beautiful thing. So let me ask James and Marianne if you'd come. Just come together, if you will, and just share with the brethren what's on your heart as God leads you.
It doesn't matter.
Hallelujah. I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
As Vic's already shared, we were honored and had the opportunity to go to Asheville, North Carolina, to the Vatican. That's what it became to be known up there after a few days. Marianne and I had felt that once we got up there that we would be going to a place where we would have some time together, that we would have some time with the Lord, that we would be able to fellowship with other Christians from around the country. And that's exactly what we did. We had a ball. The Lord blessed that meeting. It was the first meeting of that kind, and I'm sure there are going to be many more. They've already planned another one in April, I think. Is it April? April of next year. I think probably they'll have it maybe there again. I don't know. The beautiful thing about this place is it's kind of stuck down in the middle of the mountains up there. We got into the room. There was no telephones, praise God, no television. We got there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We had dinner at 6:30 to 7:30. And from there until we left, we had one service right after the other, I'm telling you. And it was just, I mean, they just went. There was no boredom or anything like that. I just couldn't believe I could sit that long and enjoy it. And I thought for a while there I was going to grow to the seat, but I guess I didn't. So it was beautiful, just beautiful.
Oh, wow. I didn't know I was going to have to stand up here and say anything. But praise God, we had a wonderful time. And As Vic has shared, it was just great that we could come together in a, I guess, so-called the Baptist grounds, you know, and I tell you, that place will never be the same again. I tell you, we didn't have a little bitty prayer meeting. We had a big prayer meeting, and it was one right after another, just like James said. And each day was, first I heard, well, we had to get up at 7:30 for breakfast, and I thought, oh no, that's not my time, getting up early in the mornings. But we got up, and from 7:30 till 2 o'clock in the morning, we were busy. And I mean, we really didn't get tired. We enjoyed every minute of it, and there was, two seminars a day and two worship services a day. And boy, if you think we didn't worship and we learned a lot. I couldn't even begin to go into all of it, but I just praise the Lord that He did a work there. And it seems to me the main theme was unity, and it was just bringing God's people together from all different denominational backgrounds. Every Christian background you can think of were there, about 700 people worshiping God together, and He really did a job in bringing the body of Christ together, and in bringing the different denominations together, bringing sisters and brothers together, and even bringing marriages together as one, each as one. That to me was just the whole theme of the whole thing, and it was beautiful, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'd love to go again. I just praise God for all of it.
Very good.
I can't say much of anything or add to what's been said too much. I just want you to know that, praise the Lord, that He's just working in many, many other places, just like He is here. And I praise the Lord that He's working here just as much as He is anyplace else. Because the people are seeking the Lord. And that was the beautiful thing about the meeting. Everybody was there to just seek the Lord, as our pastor shared. The Lord is gathering the people to Him, not to any one denomination, but to Him. And I just want you to know, if for any of you that might wonder about some of our services and the length that they run, you hadn't seen anything yet. But I want to tell you something. They go like that because when you're worshiping the Lord and you see the praise and the fellowship that those people have and the love they had for one another and for the Lord, it's just like you're looking at the Lord Himself. I mean, it's just beautiful. And there were a lot of teaching seminars, and I know that I have grown because of them, and I know that we all have, and I know that it's going to be our responsibility to share that with you, that we have learned as best we can, and I just covet your prayers in that regard. And I know there will be more of these types of meetings, and I just pray that many of you will have opportunity to attend such meetings and see that the Lord truly is working. I mean, in just all over the country, every age group, doesn't matter who, and He's working here as much as we'll allow Him, and it's as much as I've seen Him working in any place I've been. And I just praise the Lord for that. And I know that we'll be sharing with you more as the weeks go on.
Praise God. I just want to thank you all for letting me attend up there. It was so beautiful, and the love of God's people is so precious. I mean, when I arrived there, all these people came with God loves you on the front of their car and little doves and hallelujah, Jesus is Lord, and carrying their Bibles, not ashamed, I mean, really carrying their Bibles up where everybody could see them. And the love that just flowed between God's people is so precious. And for me, it was a time of self-examining. The Lord showed me so much about me personally that I just praise God for it. He's given me such a peace about my life and myself, and not to exalt me, but to lift up the name of Jesus. And I know that everything that he's shown me is truth. And just watching the speakers that spoke at the meetings, and there were some spiritual leaders there, women and men alike, and he's shown me that we've got that right here. We don't have to look in Winter Haven, Florida, or out in California, but it's right here. And he's shown me that we're going to develop into the kind of church that can truly lift up the name of Jesus in Douglasville, that we've got all the leadership and all the talent, and we've got a spirit-filled pastor to lead us there. I watch these, like, you know, I brought the schedule up here. That's the schedule for the week, and I mean, it was packed full of spiritual giants, if you say, preaching and teaching God's word. We've got it all right here too. And I just praise God that he's put us together, that we've got something so precious, and that we can only give it away, that nobody can take it away. And as I was sitting there asking the Lord what he'd have me to share, the one thing he wanted me to share, and I know that it's important that I share it, that on the way up, when we were driving on the way up, it's a 5-hour drive. he said it was 3 when we left, and it ended up to be 5. But during that time in the car, all of a sudden a peace came over me like I've never had in my life. I mean, a real peace. Now, I'm not saying this to exalt myself, but all my life I've picked myself apart. I've not allowed myself to be happy. You know, if I did something, there had to be something wrong, something I could have done better. I just wasn't satisfied with me. I had to be somebody different. I had to be like so-and-so over here. Boy, she was really spiritual. Or, you know, she is just so pretty. If I could just look like her. And so forth and so on. And all of a sudden, God just said, I made you. Be satisfied with who you are. You can always do better, a little bit better, but just be satisfied for today. And for the first time in my life, I felt peace. I mean, a true peace about who I am. And I lift up the name of Jesus when I say that. And if any of you don't have that peace of who you are, God can give it to you if you'll let him. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that peace I'm talking about, God will give it to you if you ask him for it. I just never ask. I was too busy asking for the other things to ask him to be happy with myself. So I just want to praise the Lord for being there and for finding out just a little bit more about myself and how Jesus can work in my life if I'll let him.
I just want to say one more thing that was really apparent there at the meeting, and as they said, it was about the unity that we have in Christ. And the other part that goes along with that is the responsibility that we have in Christ, not only to ourselves and to our families and to our children, but not only to the fellowship that we belong to, but to everyone else in the community and other churches in all walks of life. And it was they are things that I have heard before, but I don't guess I've really been aware of them as I was made while we were there. And I know that we have brought back a lot of information in the way of information that we can share informally and tapes and some literature and some things like that I know you'll be looking forward to receiving. Thank you.
I'm going to let Lois have an opportunity to talk for a minute.
Okay. You time me? Okay.
I want to stand close. Last time I asked her to share a word, she preached.
I forgot about that after that last trip. Praise God. Okay, I don't really want to say a whole lot this morning, but I don't know what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But I want to tell you that I know the Lord took us up into the mountains and he ministered to each of us individually in a special way. He ministered through us as well, but particularly I think it was a time of ministry unto us directly from the Lord. And for me, it was a great time of strengthening. He used many circumstances
up there besides the teaching to strengthen me in his word and teach me how to hold fast under all conditions. And I praise God for that. It was a time for, what's the word I want to use? I guess it was a confirmation to me of even our ministry here and things he had taught me personally for a long time. I needed to hear some of these other leaders, like the pastor's wife from Calvary Assembly down in Winter Park near Orlando. I needed to hear her say some of the things the Lord had told me personally, individually, by His Spirit. And I praise God the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Because I thought, well, no one else in the world, you know, really knows how the pastor's wife feels. But then here she got up, and then 6,000 people go through their church every Sunday, and she said the exact same thing that the Holy Spirit told me. And I just praise God for that. It really confirmed the Word, and particularly my role. It was a lot of the teaching was directed to the pastors and their wives and leaders and their wives. This is who were called to this conference. It wasn't just a come as you will, but leadership in the church. And I can't say more than it just really strengthened my role. It also convicted me of something I knew I needed to do for a long time. And one of the speakers the first day stood up and she said, "Now you older women," and she started talking. I thought, oh, well, she's not talking to me. But what'd she say, Mary Ann? "Now, I mean all of you over 30. And I thought, uh-oh, she sure is talking to me. And she really charged us strongly with the scriptures in Titus 2 that tell that the admonition of the older women to teach the younger women and to share what you've learned and to share not only the word but the experience that you've lived through. And I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and I really came back charged with not just responsibility, but this assignment, calling. I share from time to time, but as she was confirming and teaching in this particular Tuesday seminar, I thought, yes, I need to share these things because some things were new and the illustrations were new, but yes, I need to share this with some of the others, particularly new believers, and I want to share with them, and I've come back to do that, and I praise God. I knew that I was to do this, and I thought, well, I can share some on Thursday mornings, and yes, I will. First, I got Friday to our little exercise and physical fitness class, and I couldn't wait. I started sharing there, and I started sharing everything that had to do with the physical fitness aspect of what I had learned, and I thought, no, that's not enough, and I talked to Vic, and he said, well, there's not enough women there, and I said, I know, and so we laid on both of our hearts, well, what about the Dove Fellowship, a meeting coming up soon? And I said, yes, I don't know if they have anything planned, but if the Lord wants me to start this then, it'll be open. So I called Roseanne this afternoon, and I said, do you have any speaker or anybody scheduled for the next Dove Fellowship meeting in April, the 1st of April? I said, I don't know if I can wait that long, but I have a lot of things I want to share with the women, and particularly things to do with our role as a helpmeet with our husbands. And those of you that aren't married need to know it before you do get married so that you head off in the right place and don't have to go through 15 years of struggling before you find it all out. So,
do you listen to it?
So I really feel charged to begin to share some of these things with you. And I called Roseanne and she said, praise God, we've been struggling. We didn't know what we were going to do for the next meeting after Drew leaves. Teresa and Donna were trying to find out what to do, and she said, yes, you can do it. And she called, and evidently Donna was told by the Lord, I don't know if she's here, you said something? She said, well, if we don't get anybody, we'll ask Lois to come and share. So I said, I know that I'm supposed to come and share, so I am going to share, and I want to teach on the subject in connection with Genesis 2. And just, can I read some scripture? I am over my minute.
Yeah, well, I already preached a sermon.
From Genesis 2, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And in line with that scripture, I do want to teach and share the things the Lord has shared with me, new things he's taught me through these older women in the faith this week. I have the record for the most number of notes at the conference. They all teased me because everything everybody said I had written down. And they said, how can you write that fast? I said, I just have to. It's so important. And it was ministering to me so strongly that it was, I couldn't miss a thing. I just had to go page after page after page to get every word of this so that it would remain in my spirit so that I could pass it on to you. And I praise God for that time. Mary Ann said, I guess what I'm saying is these seminars for women ministered most to me. The two seminars on Tuesday and then again two seminars on Wednesday, I went to the ones strictly for women. And I just enjoyed it immensely. Now, I wanted to share something Mary Ann forgot. When we were going up there, she said, I don't know. Oh, I just want to hear Judson Cornwall. And, oh, maybe we could hear one of these others because they had six featured speakers on the agenda. And she said, wonder when we'll have time to hear all these people. Well, we heard every one of them and then some. We heard the funniest and most blessed Catholic priest share that you'd ever want to see. He was just precious, and just from all different denominations and just a oneness there that we all really enjoyed and were ministered to. Okay. Thank you.
Did I say something? you girls, you see what I meant now. You girls, I encourage you to be there when the doves meet now in April, because she can teach you some things. Not only, and she didn't learn it all last week. Okay? She can teach you some things, and she can share some things that'll help you in your relationship with your man. Because she knows how to do it. I'm telling you, she knows how to do it. I've been with her a while. And I know that she knows. So she can help you. And you men, you get your wife there. If you got to bring her, you get her there. Because it'll be good for you. That's the truth. That's the truth. We had, as we were there, James mentioned the services that they had. And those services would start in the evening at 7:30. The fellow would usually start to preach about 9:30. They'd sing, they'd bless God, they'd testify, they would share, they'd pray. And then about 9:30, someone would start to preach. Usually about 11 o'clock, we're ready to go home. In the morning, the seminar was over at 10 o'clock, I guess, wasn't it? 9 to 10. And at 10:30, they started the morning worship service. That was usually over at 12:30 in time, or 12:45 in time to get us for lunch. So we had plenty of worship. We had plenty of singing. Some of the people that were there were Jamie Buckingham, Judson Cornwall. Now, Judson Cornwall is one teacher, preacher. He started teaching, and he didn't ever quit. Fellow there from, but good. And man there from Calvary Assembly in Winter Park, Florida, which is reported to be the fastest growing church in the country. I think about 6,000 people. And that from almost nothing in the last few years, he and his wife were there. And he spoke on the last evening. Ken Summerall was there, who's the head of Liberty Bible College, Liberty Church and Liberty Bible College in Pensacola, Florida. And he just blessed us wonderfully. There was a fellow there who was the pastor of Souls Harbor, which is a church in Harlem. And they have a program in Harlem. Did he do a job? And he's one preacher. I mean, he's a preacher and a jumper and this is the way he preaches. Did something like this, isn't it? Like, didn't he do it like this? Then we preach like this. Didn't he? very theatrical, but he really kept you going. And but you know, the thing that was fantastic about his, he testified to the power of God in his life and in the ministry there, and he shared that every day they minister, if I heard this right, every day they minister to some 500 hopheads, prostitutes, and the like, drunks, and all sorts of seedy kinds of folks who are in the dregs. I mean, in the pits, about 500 a day, right there in the middle of Harlem. And he says, everybody wonders about how we can get along in Harlem, because this is a devil's territory. He said, ain't the devil's territory, it's God's. We claimed it for him. And that's the way he talk. And so we really heard some uplifting testimonies there. And then a man from Washington, D.C., a white pastor with about a 90% black church in the middle of Washington, D.C., a full gospel church. And one of the thing I guess that struck me, Lois mentioned that the conference was a confirmation for her. That's what it was for me. It confirmed in my heart that what God is doing with us, or what is happening, is right. That it's God at work in us, because it's what He's doing elsewhere. And some of the things that have come against us, and some of those things that we've resisted, we need to resist. And we need to go on with what God's doing. I received just many, many confirmations about what we were doing. Also, while I was there, I went through the fire. And as the Lord gives opportunity, I'll share some of that with you. But I went through the forge. Do you know what a forge is? When you have a... You ever seen a blacksmith work? And he takes the cold metal and he sticks it in the fire. And then he gets over here and he starts to pump up the air, and he puts as much air through it as he can so that he gets a fire as hot as he possibly can. And then he gets that metal malleable so that he can mold it. And then he takes it out and he bangs on it and he makes it the way he wants it to be. Well, that's what I did for 3 days. And I wasn't doing this. I was getting banged on. And I'll share some of that, I guess, as the Lord leads. I don't really understand fully what happened. But I praise God for my brothers and sisters who stood during the time I was in the fire and watched over me to make sure that the blacksmith knew what he was doing. And he did. And I'm fine, as you can see. And I praise God. I do not ever want to go through that fire again. Never again. But I am praising God today that I went through it. Okay? Even though I squalled and bawled in the middle of it because it was hot. Anyway, it was a wonderful, wonderful conference. And God is, I just want to give you my assurance as your pastor that I'm just delighted. I'm just absolutely delighted with what is happening here, because I know God's in it. I know God's doing it, and I know God will prosper it and He'll bless it. The Bible says if we will exalt the Word will exalt us. It's not necessary for us to exalt ourselves, but exalt the Word, and the Word will exalt us. And as long as we do that, exalt the Word, exalt Jesus, you see, then He'd take care of the rest of it. Praise God. It was good. It was good. I want to share something with you just briefly out of the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. I want you to see something here that I think I had not seen for a long time. You know, for a long time, as we come into full gospel circles particularly, and we become aware that God has the power to heal, He has the power to deliver and set free and bless, and we think, if only I could touch Jesus, if only I could touch Him, if I could get Him involved in my situation, if only I could get Him to do something for me, if only I could get Him interested in my circumstance, if only I could get Him close enough to the need, I know that He's got the ability to do it. I want you to see something very interesting tonight in the story about the woman who had the issue of blood. And let's just read it beginning in the 25th verse. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched thee?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." The secret, brothers and sisters and friends, is not getting the attention of Jesus. The secret is believing the Word of God. She never did get his attention. He never knew she was in the crowd. The scene was something like this. Jesus was pressed about by a great multitude as he was ministering in the crowd, as he was moving about. There was a great many people around him. This woman took her life in her hands. And you must remember that under the Jewish law, a woman that continued to have an issue of blood and whose fount had not dried up was unclean. And she was not to be in public in that unclean condition. And if she was caught in public that way, she was in a sorry state of affairs under the Jewish law. She risked everything to come into the crowd that day. For she said, "If I may but just touch his garment," I don't have to get his attention. All I have to do is touch him. He doesn't even have to know anything about it. All I have to do is touch his garment. "If I can but touch his garment, I shall be made whole." And she came to him in the press. And she worked through the crowd, and she reached out and she touched his garment. Now, A, Jesus didn't even know she was in the crowd. B, he did not know that she had an issue of blood. C, he did not know that she'd had it for 12 years. D, he did not know that she had been to many physicians and had spent all of her money, but that she wasn't any better with all of that treatment. She was worse. And F, he didn't know that she was about to touch him. But bless God, when she touched him, he knew it. Bless God, when that woman's faith reached out and touched him, it was not her fingers on his garment. It was her faith touching the Word of God made flesh, Jesus of Nazareth. The instant that she touched him, Jesus felt virtue flow out of him. It was there all the time. All she had to do was touch it and get some of it. And when she did, instantly, she was healed. I don't mean tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the next day. Instantly, when she touched him, she was healed. And Jesus turned about in the press and said, "Who touched me?" And she was embarrassed. She didn't want to tell him that she had touched him. First of all, it was wrong what she had done. Secondly, she was a bleeder. It was wrong. She didn't want to admit it. But Jesus continued to press and said, "Who touched me?" In another passage where it's recorded, I think it's over in Luke, the 8th chapter, where it's recorded that the disciples began to remonstrate Jesus and say, "You saying, who touched you? Look at this crowd all about you. And you're asking me who touched you?" He says, "No, I'm not talking about those people that just jostled against me. I'm not talking about those that just bumped me. I'm talking about the one that touched me. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. You can bump elbows with Jesus and never get anything from Him. You can bump shoulders with Jesus. You can rub shoulders with Him. You can put your arms around Him and embrace Him and never get anything from Him until you reach out with your faith and touch Him by faith. Then you can have whatsoever you desire. That's the way you must touch Jesus, by faith. And He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, in other words, being aware of her healing, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. Jesus didn't know anything about it until she told it to Him. And He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." He didn't say my power. He didn't say the brethren's faith. He didn't say the great glory that resides on the inside of me. He didn't say the healing virtue of the living Christ. He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The reason you're no longer bleeding, sister, is because you believed me. And you touched me with your faith. Now, healing from God is ministered the same way today as it was then. You must touch Jesus by faith. Now, some think that when God's power is demonstrably in evidence, that it's fanaticism or emotionalism or wild shenanigans. I just bet you this. I bet that woman was fanatic that day. Don't you think she was a little wild that day? 12 years she couldn't stop bleeding. 12 years she spent everything she had. 12 years, and that fast, she is totally and instantly delivered by her faith. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee well. Go in peace and be made whole of thy plague." Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's healing people today in the same way that He healed them then. He's healing by the power of His faith. The healing power of God is available. It's available to one and all, but we must touch Him by faith. And what's happened here tonight is that many have touched the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and have received for themselves or for another. I believe God's Word. I believe it's the absolute truth. And I believe when we put it into practice, we receive that which God has promised us. Amen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let us just pray for a moment. Father, we desire to be Your obedient children. We are willing, and also we want to be obedient. We will to be obedient. And so, Father, if there's something else that needs doing tonight, if there's something that You desire to do that either You haven't shared with us or we've missed, we ask You now, Father, to just share it with us. You said, "As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." Jesus said, "I do nothing of myself, but whatsoever I see the Father doing, that I also do." And since, Father, He is the first fruits of many brethren, and since we are being conformed unto His image, we're going to operate the same way. So therefore, Father, we look to you, and what we see you doing, then we'll do. You're doing something, we'll just follow behind you and do it with you. If you're not doing anything, then we'll not either. So you just guide us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your ministry among us tonight, Lord. And now we'd ask you to bless this special music which is coming. We ask you to minister to your children as several of your children minister unto you. Anoint them with the power and the joy and the tenderness of your Holy Spirit. Give them supernatural ability. Supernatural quality, and then give them a supernatural blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we do have some special music tonight. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I believe that it's on this front row here. And I'm going to ask Jim Mims if he'll come and bring whoever is ministering with him tonight, and you can do your own introductions, all right, since you know what's going on.
Well, praise the Lord. We got some special music tonight, and it's I had a brother and sister of mine that brought it to me a while back. Matter of fact, about 2 months ago, I guess. They said they prayed a lot about it and said I was supposed to sing this thing. So I mean, can believe it. Jimbo Mims is up here ready to sing a song.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, there's a couple of them believe it. I didn't believe it before, but I'm believing it now. I just praise the Lord. This song is by Lanny Wolf. It's a beautiful song. When Marshall Conway brought the song to me, I hadn't even heard of it before, but since then I've been playing it over and over, and it just ministers to me, and I just pray that it'll minister to you just like it has me. And Sharon and Marshall, they've... Well, Lanny Wolf had written the music, but since I can't read music anyway, they just turned it around a little bit. So we just adjusted.
We messed up Jimmy Swaggart's arrangement on it.
Well, praise the Lord. But if you're ready, Sandra, we'll go to it. I often wonder why God didn't choose
trusting all of my life.
I'm gonna serve.